Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Esther. And thank you, choir, and thank you all folks here. We'll got a lot of announcements. We'll make those at the end of the time. I do want to mention while we're on the radio, we'll be start taking reservations for Judgment House coming up here real soon, 1st of September, right around the 1st of September, we'll be taking Judgment House reservations. I know many of you starting to ask for that, and it is going to will be the last week of October, first week of November is when we'll be doing Judgment House. The theme of this year's Judgment House is unexpected, and it is an unexpected drama when you see it. It really is. So we'll be looking forward to that. But the title of the message this morning is, Why This Day? Why This Day? How many of you in here and those listening to us on the radio and the internet, how many of you, now think closely, I know it's a trick question, tough, how many of you have a birthday? Raise your hand in here if you have a birthday. Yeah. I'll bet you I have a card that has your birthday on it. It's called a calendar. I guarantee you. Every single one of us. But now I want you to think about this question. Why were you born on that day? Now, I know the physical aspect of that because that's when your mom and daddy had you, you know. But there's a greater thing in it. God, before you were ever born, the Bible says that when I was in my mother's womb that you saw me. Or even before. God knew you were going to be born. I mean, have you ever wondered, why weren't you born in the colonial days or the Civil War days or maybe the some of the other times, the Dark Ages, the medieval period? I mean, all these different times of history, we love to travel back in time and go to history. I love going through Colonial Williamsburg and seeing that Revolutionary War era. But I am just so glad that I can go to it. And when I leave, I go back to my air-conditioned car. I go back and stay in an air-conditioned hotel room, and then I drive home. Amen. I mean, you go back into that. I was looking at those guys all dressed up in those little, what do you call it, tights? And that long coat, and I thought, I don't think I'd look good in tights. And I sure wouldn't want to wear one of those collars they had to wear all the time. Man, I mean, they wore enough clothes. Well, they never know where they're going to spend the night. I mean, something might come up and they get stuck in the woods, so they had enough clothes to protect themselves. I mean, it was a different day. So why were you born the day you were born? Well, that's where we find Esther this morning, and we're going to see a few things about it. Esther chapter 3. Verse number 8. Now remember last time, just by quick way of review, we saw that Haman was rising up in power, and yet here was Mordecai who saved the king's life, and yet they passed over him. No promotion, no thank you, no recognition at all, just, oh well, that's nice. Now look at verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all the people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. And it makes me want to jump in. I told my wife this morning, I was rereading this, liar! They weren't breaking the king's law, but that's what he said about them, and that's what hatred will do for you. We'll continue on. Verse number 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee and the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called, and I want you to notice this, and we'll talk about it later, on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenant and to the governors that were over every province, to the rulers of every people and of every province according to the writing thereof. And to every people after the language, in the name of the king Azarias was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post unto all the king's provinces to destroy and to kill and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey. Now, here Haman has, and remember last time we saw that Haman's great-great-great-great-grandfather was King Agag, who was killed by King's, well, was actually captured by King Saul, should have been the entire race taken care of, but Saul didn't obey. And Agag was killed by the priest of God because of all his evil sins that he had done. This grudge had been carried on throughout generation for generation. And the first thing we see this morning is a plan for destruction. A plan for destruction. The devil has always tried to use someone or something to stomp out the Jews. Later in our more recent history, he used the Nazis to do that. Today, there is battles going on in Israel. As we speak, they're at war. And you know, we see this asking for murder, and Haman goes and does that, but he's carried this grudge. Now, I want to ask you another question, and we'll get back to why was I born in a little bit. Who do you hate? Now, we all like to see ourselves in the hated category, don't we? Well, so-and-so doesn't like me. But we use the words love and hate very loosely, don't we? I'm afraid sometimes we don't have a descriptive enough language in the English language to properly convey it. How many of you love pizza? Raise your hand. A lot of you. Now, how many of you love your mama? Well, now, which one do you love? Pizza or your mama? Well, you say, okay, maybe I like pizza and I love my mother. But we do that, don't we? We have a tendency to do those things, you know. Go up to your wife and say, boy, I love steak. And then say, I love you too, baby. What's she going to say? Well, which one does he love? And we understand that we are using a mannerism or expression, but we use the word hate all the time, don't we? I hate that. Don't you hate when they pull out in front of me? Don't you? And you realize it creeps into our vocabulary a lot. But do you hate somebody so bad that you are willing to try to kill them? I mean, that's pretty bad, isn't it? And today we have still in our supposed modern day, we have people that are killing one another all the time just because they hate them. You know, and that goes in all kinds of directions, but the Bible commands us to hate evil, but not the people. There are sins that are wrong. He says, I hate all those that do evil. But he's not talking about the same time. And God can have a hatred towards sin. He does have a hatred towards sin, and we should. But what if I told you a particular person, race, or group was going to move in next door to you? Notice I didn't put that in. I'm going to let you put that in. Who would it be? And you would say, oh, I hate that. I don't want them to move next to me. You see, if we find out what makes you laugh and what makes you cry, we know who you are. You know, and we have to be careful with this thing of hatred. It doesn't belong in a Christian's life. We got to be careful what we hate, who we hate. You know, my great-great-grandmother was a full-blood Cherokee Indian. I have tried to find her last name, haven't been able to. I don't think she had one. I don't know. We couldn't find her. I haven't been able to find all the genealogy on it. But with a name like Boone, you were either hunting Indians or marrying them. One of the two. And apparently somewhere along the line, we got into the marrying thing. Found out that worked a little better than the hunting. But now, you know, when I look at that, there are people that would say, well, you know, and if you study the Cherokee people, even into the 1900s, they were horribly, wrongly mistreated. But that doesn't give me the right to go out and try to shoot every person that ever mistreated, every person that's a relative of everybody that mistreated a Cherokee Indian, does it? No. They didn't do anything to me. They never touched me, never hurt me. And people need to realize that we need to be careful with our so-called prejudices. Now, that's not a popular message in today's even church sometimes. You know that the foot of the cross, though, is colorblind? It is. The Bible doesn't say he that is a red man can come to Christ. He that's a white man can come to Christ. He that's a brown man can come to Christ. He that's a black man or a yellow man or whatever color he is. Doesn't say that, does it? It says all, whosoever shall take of the water of life can drink freely. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Haman is very prejudiced. Makes you wonder, Esther has got to be going, God, why me? Why now? Why was I born on this day? Here she is, a queen and a party she didn't even want to be in. She's a Jew, which Haman hates the Jews. He's accusing them for murder. He says, there's a bunch of people over there don't act like us, they don't look like us, they don't talk like us, so therefore they must be wrong. You know, we as adults, we say we try to teach our kids to love everybody, but we tend to have that same attitude, don't we? Well, I don't know anything about them, so they must be wrong. Not necessarily. The accusation is made, their laws are different, their decrees are different. They're no good for you, king. You need to just wipe them out. And then there's an appeasing for murder here. The truth is, and he says, king, I'll pay you so that I can destroy him. Now, lest you get the idea that Haman all of a sudden's found a generous bone, let me set you right on that. What would happen in these days, if you wanted to go to war against somebody, you had to get permission from the local ruler, so to speak, or either be involved with him. He was literally going to pay the king for the right to destroy this entire race of people. Now, what would happen when you went to war, and when a person went to war, they would go, and there was many reasons. Sometimes they wanted to take over a kingdom. Sometimes they had a grudge to settle. The king Azarias here wanted to take over Greece, and that's because of his great, great, great whatever, and he was wanting to take over the whole world to get back at Greece. But Haman wants to destroy them, but Haman is a greedy little guy. He cares about money, too. You see, what would happen is Haman would be able to go in, destroy all of these people, and he knew he was going to get his money back. Because what happens is all... See, we're not talking about just a little bit of war and a little fighting, and at the end of the day, everybody goes home that's not killed. The way we know war. We're talking about, let's just say down here, we got the Porter family down here, and all of that. At the end of the day, there wouldn't be nobody left. The Barefoots down here, nobody. I mean, they wiped out everybody, cousins and all. You know, it was like going to the family reunion and killing them all. And so then what would happen is all of their belongings was called the spoil. Wasn't talking about baloney that's gone bad. They would take everything that belonged to that people they had killed and, of course, do what they wanted to with it. Keep it, sell it, get gain out of it. He was talking about making some money here. To Haman, this was the best of both worlds. He was going to get to kill all of his enemies and make a profit on the deal. Now you begin to see how devious of a little fellow this guy is. And I call him a little fellow because he needs to beware, because when a little man casts a big shadow, it can only mean one thing. It means the sun's just about to go down. Well, why this day? The apathy for murder. I mean, you would think that if you had given orders to wipe out an entire race, the king would have the good sense to go check out and see who it was he was wiping out. But he doesn't. And it's very interesting to note what they do. They actually cast lots for this. Now, a lot is kind of like gambling, except for they used astrologers. Sometimes they would actually take the kidney or the liver of an animal sacrifice. They would go before the stars and they would hold that thing down, and the priests, supposedly, the astrologers, were supposedly be able to tell you by the shape of that animal's kidney what was a good lucky day for you. Wow, now that's messed up, isn't it? I'm sure Peter had never heard about that, you know? But you think about it today. We use rabbit's foots and all that. Now, I know most of you really don't believe in that, but that's where all that stuff came from. They cast lots for this day, and then it says in verse 15, the post went out, being hasted by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink But the city of Shushan was perplexed. All these letters are going out about destruction, and they sat down to just have a party again. Well, we see here that they are doing this. The lot fell, and I want you to see the pain of those that are detested. Not only the destruction here, but their pain. Here, all these Jews are now aware. Just try to imagine this. Try to get your head around it. You go down to IGA or Foodline or Walmart or wherever it is you buy groceries. And when you walk in the door, there's a billboard on it. And it says, and it has your people right now. Most Americans are much, you know. We don't know who we all came from. But let's just say it said Americans. All Americans will be killed by such and such countries planning on coming in and killing you on, you know, May 15th, 2013. Now, you want to borrow the psychologist term, how would that make you feel? See, that's where they were, but here's the problem. The administration in charge, their leaders, were going to allow it. You couldn't fight back. It was illegal for you to fight back. Now, would that change your life? You see, here these guys are. They come into this. Strikes fear into the hearts of all these people. And what they had actually done now with this astronomy, we're talking about that. They were casting lots to find out what was the lucky day, the most blessed day by these false gods in which to kill the Jews. Now I've got a little riddle for you. Who planned that? Why this day? Why was it that day and not another? You know, when we study Scripture and we begin to find out about this particular day, it's very, very interesting. This particular day is something that if you were to study Scripture, you would find it showing up again. They gave this time, and it was going to be a little bit, you see, the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Azarias, they do all that. But it tells the day that they were going to destroy them, verse 13, upon the 13th day of the 12th month, and all that. Maybe that's why we consider today superstition, the 13th unlucky day. I don't know. But this was going to be the day, and it was sometime in advance, and they lived and died by their horoscope. I mean, they were literally going to not do it until then and not after. It was going to be on that day. I mean, they lived and died by this. They really believed it. And I want you to know that when you think about this, we often see God plan things for us and we give credit to the devil. Man, why, God, did you let me have that flat tire? Remember the skit a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night? Well, there was going to be a bad car accident, my child, and you were going to get killed in it, so I thought a flat tire was a little bit easier to manage. Oh. You see, God had planned and orchestrated this day on this calendar just like He's planned your birthday and all the events that take place in your life. The reason that you would see this date pop up in Scripture, and the reason I believe God planned this, not the devil, this is the exact same time that the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. All the way back to the children of Israel when they were delivered out of bondage in Egypt. D-Day, they were delivered out of the hand of Egypt. I believe God planned this because, you see, they meant to destroy the Jews on this day. And God said, oh no, you go ahead. I'll make your astrologers think they know a little bit. They're going to plan it on the exact day I want because that is going to be the deliverance of my people. God can take destruction and turn it into deliverance. Aren't you glad you serve a God that can do that? He's going to take all this terrible thing and turn it right into that. Well, we see the purpose of the divine as we see that, not only the pain, but the purpose. Now, what in the world do you do? And I know I'll try to hurry. We call it a salad bar to the Baptist. We like to call it the wild. It must be obeyed. So we'll try to scoot along here. But as we look at this, there's a purpose in this. We see Esther in verse 5. She goes, what in the world's going on? Chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Verse number 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her, and then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she went sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth, but he received it not. Basically, she sends him out. She says, what are you doing? The habit was that when you were in a time of mourning, we're not necessarily a very respectful people these days, like people of days gone by, but they would, in a time of mourning, they would put sackcloth, which was kind of like a, you remember the old burlap sacks? They used for sack races. Anybody remember those? It's kind of like that. They would put that on. They would put ashes on their head to signify that they were in mourning, in a time of sorrow. He's out there doing this with ashes on his head, and Mordecai, you know, is one of the judges in the gate. He's also Esther's cousin who raised her. And so she sends somebody, sends one of her servants, says, go find out what's wrong with Mordecai. Send him some clothes. Maybe his clothes got dirty. What's the problem here? She sends him out, and he sends back to her the message. Verse 7, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy him. And Hatech came and in verse 8 also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, to declare it to her, and to charge her that she should go into the king and to make supplication unto her and to make requests before him for her people. Now I want you to look down to verse 14. This is Mordecai speaking again. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther is the queen. But as we explained a couple of weeks ago, that doesn't mean that she sees the king. Kind of twisted, isn't it? The king, the queen would only come and see the king whenever the king called for her. They didn't live in the same house. They didn't live in the same area always. And whenever the king wanted to see her, he would call her. If you went in to see the king without being called and invited, it could mean your head. Literally, they would kill you. That really slowed down the traffic into the palace. They didn't have to worry about scanning people for arms. Most of them didn't come. And so here the queen is, she can't just go see. He's killed people for way less than coming uncalled for, much less to go ask. And Mordecai says, Esther, if you don't ask for your life. Now, I love what he says here. Remember, the name of God is not mentioned in the whole book of Esther. But boy, do you see his providence here. He doesn't say God, but he says deliverance shall come from another. You know, Esther, it might be that you were born for just this time. Do you know, we struggle as humans. I think probably all of us at one time or another have wondered, why God, why did you let me do this? Or why, you may have even asked the question, why did you let me be born? You may have asked, why God into this family? Anybody here ever picked their parents out? No. You didn't have a choice on who your parents were. And Esther is wondering, and now she comes to this point, and Mordecai says, Esther, it doesn't matter. If you don't obey God, guess what? Somebody will. Now, God gives us a free will and a free choice to do what we want. But I want to tell you, sometimes, and I'll be honest, preachers have to be careful about this. We can talk about how God needs us to do that and God needs us to do the other, and we need to do things in church. But do you know what? God don't need you. He don't need me to be God. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God at all? He doesn't need us. But hang with me now, not to make you feel too bad. If you don't serve God and do what He's asked you to do, God will get the job done. Remember when He went to Moses? He brought along Aaron to help him out. He tells Esther here, if you don't do it, somebody, God will deliver His people. God will keep His promise. But it's you that will miss the blessing. But now, I want you to see this. Got to be listening close to this. God doesn't need you. He wants you. Isn't that a big difference? You see, needed is a term at work. You might be needed to perform your task. But are you wanted? You see, and that is where the difference between our God is and some false idol, or one of the differences, rather, is that God doesn't need you. He wants you. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to serve Him. God could have made robots. He wouldn't have had any trouble. If He made the whole world in just 6 days and made man and all of that, I think He could have made a robot if He'd wanted to that would have said, hi, God, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God. He didn't want that. He wanted a creation who would choose to love Him. Well, I got to give my tithe because God needs it. No, He don't. He can do without your tithe. He owns the whole world. What's He need that for? He wants you to give to Him. He wants to give to you. He wants to bless you. And here, Esther, and we see the first thing that I want you to look real quickly. Psalms chapter 55, verse 16. Psalmist here states this. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. He that hath delivered my soul in peace in the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. What do you do when you're hated of the entire world? What do you do when you feel like you're hated? Nobody loves me. I think I'll go out and eat worms. What do you do? There's only one thing that's the right thing. It's often been said wisely, before you talk to people about God, you better go talk to God about the people. Esther wisely does not go running to King Azarias right away. She's got to get up the courage for one. She says, if I go in there and he doesn't want me, he's going to take my head off. She begins to fast and to pray. How long has it been since something came up in your life so difficult that it drove you to the point you didn't even want to eat? When you don't know what to do, pray. What do you do? I have a message entitled, what do you do when you don't know what to do? And sometimes the best thing to do is absolutely nothing but pray. Brother Tom Gillum, I believe it is, has said that if you have two paths to choose, probably both of them's wrong. Wait till God shows you the clear path. Esther falls down on her face before God, and it breaks her heart. She doesn't know what to do. She gets all of her people, and she says, we're going to fast. She says in verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink, 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And I want you to notice this next little phrase. I think she gets a God-given courage that can only come from this little orphan girl. If I perish, I perish. Why were you born? When you were born. What is it that God has for you? How do you respond when you are hated? Who do you hate? You see, those are questions that the Christian's got to answer. Those are things you've got to think about in your life. But here this morning, I want to ask you where you're sitting right there, where you're listening. Do you know one thing I can tell you for sure? You were born for God to save you. God would like to save you. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you don't know that if you died, you'd have a home in heaven. Today is the day of salvation. Why this day? This is the greatest day, the Bible says, to be saved. Do it today. All it simply takes is, we give this time of invitation here in just a moment, that all you need to do is just come down and ask me, and I'll have a lady deal with the ladies and men deal with the men, just show you how the Bible says you can have a home in heaven. Pray with you to receive Christ. Why this day? Christians, today would be a great day for you to say, I don't care what happens. I don't care if they hate me. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to do everything possible to live for God. Today is the day. Such a time as this. In our nation right now, I believe we live in one of the most exciting days in history. We are just about that close to the day when the Lord's going to step out and say, come back, come up hither. And He's going to call His church home, and the rapture's going to happen. And all those are going to be left behind, according to 1 Thessalonians. Says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ which are alive and remain shall be called up. And we which remain shall be called up and gathered together with them in the clouds. So shall we meet the Lord. Man, I can't wait. We are in such an exciting day. But why this day? Why today are you here? Well, I challenge you this morning. Don't put it off. You know, I hear all the time of people that say, well, I'll get saved tomorrow. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a young man in our area that was killed in a car accident at 13 years old. And I remember them talking about that he just rededicated his life to God. If that had been you, could that have been said about you, that you were living for God? I'll never forget, and I'll close with this. Never forget, some years ago when I was pastoring in Florida, we had a youth group ministry to a project area called Moon Lake. It was a rough area. Had some kids in there one night that really weren't paying a whole lot of attention to our youth pastor. And our youth pastor told me later, he said, I prayed for them. I was really concerned over them. One young man raised his hand that night for salvation. He came up, and Brother Jim talked to him later, and he said, look, I saw you raise your hand. Would you like to be saved today? Let's do it today. Don't put it off. And he said, I'm really concerned about it. He said, I really, you know, my friends have a big, big party tonight. We've been planning this a long time. He said, I'm going to come back Sunday to youth group. But we've got this big party. We've been planning this a long time, and I've really got to go. I don't have time to do it tonight. But I'm really thinking about being saved. That was Wednesday night. Thursday morning, he was dead. Drug overdose at the party. Don't know if in the last hours as he was laying in that hospital, they were trying to pump his stomach and trying to revive him, but he never came back. Less than 18 years old. But he said, I'll be back at the youth group on Sunday. I'll do it then. I'm thinking about it. Why this day today?